The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 13, verse 44 to 52. It is page 210 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the words of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first, since you rejected it, and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. We now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Simply because a great crowd came to listen to the sermon of Apostle Paul, whom they'd never seen before, and the number of the crowd couldn't be compared to those who normally came when they preached. The group of leaders of Judaic faith of Pisidian Antioch became jealous of Paul, and they argued against and criticized Paul, interfered so that he could no longer preach at the Jewish synagogue. But just because of this, Paul didn't just leave Pisidian Antioch. Apostle Paul, who could no longer preach at the Jewish synagogue, delivered the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone he met, whether a Jew or a Gentile, outside of the synagogue, and as a result, the words of life began to seep through all corners of Pisidian Antioch, the city of emperor, which had only been rushing headlong to death. The actions of the party of Jewish leaders, which blocked Paul from preaching in the small and limited space of Jewish synagogue, paradoxically brought about the opposite effect of increasing Paul's influence all over Pisidian Antioch beyond the synagogue. This was a result that the party of Jewish leaders could never accept. But their religious authority was confined to Jewish synagogue. They didn't have the authority to stop Apostle Paul, who was preaching outside of the synagogue. So what they did next is revealed in verse 50 of today's text. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. The group of Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the Pisidian Antioch to persecute Paul and Barnabas, and ended up expelling the two from Pisidian Antioch. From the fact that the text refers not to just women of high standing, but God-fearing women of high standing, we can surmise that these women of high standing had either converted to Judaism or sympathetic to Judaism. 2,000 years ago, among the cities of Roman Empire located in Asia Minor, there were numerous instances where women were appointed to high positions by the emperor. Accordingly, the God-fearing women of high standing referred to in today's passage could be women who themselves were high-ranking government officials, or they could be wives of high-ranking government officials. And And the Greek word protos, which has been translated as leading men in Korean, refers to persons who ranked the highest in terms of position, hierarchy, and influence. Therefore, the women of high standing and leading men referred to in today's passage belong to the top ruling class of Pisidian Antioch. In one word, these were people with power who could expel persons like Apostle Paul and Barnabas very easily. In 45 AD, when Apostle Paul visited Pisidian Antioch, it was a great city with a population of approximately 100,000. It is clear that persons who belong to the ruling group of such a great city with a population of 100,000 or more must have been outstanding in one aspect or another over others. The Judaic leaders targeted this very group of people and incited them. To incite these God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city to such an extent to compel them to expel Apostle Paul, whom they didn't even know, how the Judaic leaders must have laid false charges and decried against them. On the other hand, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, whom these high-standing women and leading men of Pisidian Antioch persecuted and expelled from the city, was not a murderer or a swindler. Apostle Paul was a God's apostle whom God chose in Jesus Christ. So-called women of high standing and leading men of the city persecuted and chased away the teacher of truth whom they should have only rightly welcomed and from whom they should have received the teaching about eternal life. Now, how could these women of high standing and leading men, who clearly must have had the refinement and intellect, commit such absurd acts? It was due to the incitement by the Judaic leaders. Therefore, we have said that becoming subject to incitement is a thing of ignorance. And by the Jewish leaders inciting these God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men, they committed the evil act of expelling Apostle Paul away from the city. So we have said that incitement, regardless of the form it takes, is an evil act. But it was not the case that the evil act of inciting others and ignorance of being incited by others happened only in Pisidian Antioch. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went, as usual, into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their mind against the brothers. Acts 14, verse 1-2. Apostle Paul and Barnabas, who were expelled from Pisidian Antioch, went to Iconium, which was about 180 kilometers away from Pisidian Antioch in the southeast direction, and preached the gospel there. Even at that place, in the same way as was in Pisidian Antioch, the evil act of inciting others and the ignorance of being incited by others were repeated in the same way. Now, this is what happened when Israel people who left Egypt arrived at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. Moses, in order to do a prior survey of the Canaan land that God promised, sent 12 spies. The spies who returned to Kadesh after 40 days, 10 of the spies incited the Israel people that they should not go into Canaan. They said that all of the natives of the Canaan land were giants, and before them they were merely like grasshoppers. And so if they were to go into the land, they would surely be all killed. Although Caleb and Joshua, who are also spies, argue that they could surely overcome Canaan people, but Israel people, who had already been agitated by the other 10 spies, tried to stone Caleb and Joshua to death, who were speaking the truth. And as a result, none of them were able to go into the land of Canaan and brought on themselves the tragedy of dying in the desert. This was the result of the evil act of inciting others and ignorance of allowing oneself to become incited. Now, aren't the Israel people are people who consider themselves to be the chosen people? If so, then how could the chosen people of God commit the foolish act of nailing Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, on the cross? The Judaic leaders of Jerusalem incited Jewish people, and the Jews who were incited by such leaders put pressure on proconsul Pilate to put the Lord to death by acting as if there would be an insurrection. This also was the result of the evil of inciting others and ignorance of allowing oneself to become incited by others. In looking at stories about incitement such as these, it is easy for us to come to form a wrongful prejudice about incitement. It is to believe that incitement is something that happens within a collective made up of groups of many or among masses, so to speak. In Kadesh, in the desert of Paran, 10 spies incited people of Israel. A group of many had incited the masses. The Judaic leaders of Jerusalem incited the Jews and caused Pilate to crucify Jesus on the cross. It was also the case where a group of many people incited the masses. The party of Jewish leaders in the Pisidian Antioch incited the women of high standing and the leading men and caused them to expel Apostle Paul. It's a case where a group of many people incited a particular collective, and at Iconium, Jews incited the Gentiles to harbor ill feelings against the Christians. A group of many had incited another group made up of many people. In this way, we can easily have the mistaken belief that incitement happens between groups made up of multiple persons, between such a group and a collective, and between such a group and masses, and that it does not happen among individuals. Further, it is also easy for us to fall into the misunderstanding that incitement happens only in the limited areas of politics or ideologies. Such misunderstanding necessarily leads us to the illusion that we have nothing to do with incitement, but this is not true. The reason that the word incitement is associated with the negative image is because the motive of the person who engages in the incitement is not pure. To incite someone is a wrongful act that causes that person to break away from the normal path. A person with a rightful heart never commits the act of incitement that causes another to veer off from his proper path. Rather, in order to help the person who has come off the right path, he advises, recommends, lectures, and teaches or persuade him. And even if that person is wrongfully accused, that person or suffers some injustice, the person only explains and defends himself. So, as we can see, the act of incitement means to cause another person to break off from his proper and rightful path. And it's very important for us to understand this, because it is only with such understanding that we can know that incitement does not always happen between groups made up of many people, but could easily happen even among individuals. Satan tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden. What was that temptation? If she eats the fruit that was forbidden by God, she will be, her eyes will be opened and she will be like God. In one word, it was to veer off from the normal path of men and to become God. If so, then we can realize that the sting that we have been calling the temptation by Satan was actually an incitement by Satan to cause men to break off from the rightful path of men. Although God had clearly said that if they eat the forbidden fruit, they will surely die, Eve, who became incited by Satan, ended up eating the forbidden fruit. This was owing to ignorance about God, who had forbidden such fruit. Eve, who became incited by Satan, did not stop just at eating the forbidden fruit. She also made her husband, Adam, to eat the forbidden fruit. Eve, who already had broken off from the rightful path, committed the evil act of inciting her husband, Adam, to also come off the rightful path without even being aware of it. And Adam, upon becoming incited by his wife, without much thought, ultimately lost paradise and brought about death, which is the wages of sin. This also was a thing of ignorance. What is important is that when the Satan incited Eve, it was not a collective happening between a 10 Satans and 10 Eves. It was a personal event, personal incitement that occurred between the two, Satan and Eve. And also when Eve incited Adam, it was a personal incitement that occurred between Adam and Eve. In this way, the Bible reminds us that incitement does not only happen between groups of people, between such a group and a collective, between such a group and masses in connection with political ideological issues, but that it could actually happen between individual and an individual. Further, the Bible testifies that the history of human beings began with the evil and personal act of inciting another, and the ignorance that allows oneself to become incited, the very personal acts that occurred between Satan and Eve and between Eve and Adam. We are the descendants of Adam and Eve. The incitement does not only happen in political arenas or demonstrations, as we commonly mistakenly believe. It is also not the case that incitement is exclusive to a certain person. We also commit the evil of inciting others and the ignorance of being incited without us even being aware of it in our daily lives. I will read to you an article that appeared in a newspaper on June 14th in connection with uncovering of a large number of unlicensed practitioners of plastic surgery and the doctors that let them borrow their licenses. A large number of persons who performed plastic surgery or set up plastic surgery practices without medical license and the doctors who lent their license to these persons were uncovered by the Metropolitan Investigation Team of Seoul Police Agency. The plastic surgery offices that were uncovered were three. Among them, there were doctor's offices where an assistant nurse took charge of surgery who had employed a name-only figurehead director of the clinic and where the doctors allowed a quake to perform procedures while he didn't do anything. How could these things happen in the so-called kingdom of plastic surgery? A certain person named Shin, 53 years old, were known as the hidden expert in the area of dermatoplasty, was originally a common housewife. In 2002, after hearing that one can make a lot of money by learning skincare, she went to a beauty school in Sanyang, China, and received the week's training. This is all she knew. Upon returning to Korea, however, she turned into a medical professional. She was a quake, but because she has skillful hands, a rumor circulated widely among the beauty shops and cosmetic salespeople in the Yangchenggu area, this is our neighboring area, that she was a better than a doctor. Her specialty was getting rid of wrinkles by giving collagen shots. In 2005, a plastic surgery office in Pucheon, Gyeonggi Province, scouted her. She was not licensed, but they were allured by her reputation that she was the best in the industry. To the patients, the office advertised days when special guest doctor would visit, and on those days, she appeared with dignity wearing a doctor's gown. The head of the office, Park, was a graduate of a well-known university, but when his practice didn't do too well, he retained Shin and allowed her to perform procedures numerous times. Shin, upon becoming confident, now opened her own practice in her living room at Yangchenggu Shinwoldong from 2008. And when she outfitted her place with surgical table, laser, and syringes, patients came in droves. First, the regulars who lived in Mokdong, Incheon, and Pucheon area came. But as the news spread by words of mouth, apparently patients came even from Seoul, Gangdong area, and Ilsan, Gyeonggi province. Police investigations reveal that the material Shin used for her specialty, collagen shots procedure, was industrial silicone that is used in lubricants and surface coating of glasswares. This was a substance that could easily cause skins to rot or be punctured instead of improving the quality of the skin. Usually, the price of collagen shot is between 200,000 won and 300,000 won, but Shin drastically reduced the price. With industrial silicone that costs 500,000 won a bottle, she made fake collagen materials that could be used for more than 100 shots. At a home of a family that received treatment by Shin at their home, a huge ruckus ensued because a man in his 60s developed serious side effects. Shin couldn't care less and performed medical procedures on 600 patients and made unfair profit of at least 500 million won. Kim is 38 years old, who is 38 years old this year, was a nurse's assistant at an OBGYN clinic. She left the clinic because of a medical mishap. which happened while she gave skincare to patients on occasion. Kim, who heard that she was skilled with her hands, set up a plastic surgery office in the main central area of Pucheon, Gyeonggi-do, right after she left. Since she needed a medical license, she recruited the director for the office on internet. A 72-year-old K, who had retired, was recruited on the condition of monthly salary of 7 million won. It had been over 10 years that he had held a surgical knife, but it wasn't important as he was supposed to be a figurehead anyway. Kim did all consultation and procedures, and she sent patients who needed complicated procedures such as reshaping of a chin or liposuction to other hospitals, and only accepted patients who wanted to get rid of freckles and moles. But the strategy of specialization worked. Patients flocked to her as she was praised as being the best at getting rid of freckles, and to this, the praise that she was a friendly and kind young woman doctor was added. There were rumors that freckles that couldn't be removed at other clinics could be removed at her office at once. She retained no less than 3 nurses, and Kim frequently replaced the head doctor, the director of the clinic, whom she found as a waste to pay salaries. Kay was fired after 3 months, and Mr. P and Mr. S came respectively as replacements as figurehead director of the clinic, and Mr. P and Mr. S were obstetrician and urologist respectively, and their main task was to just hang out at the office. Kim closed her outfit after 1 year of its opening because others who became jealous when patients flocked to her spread rumors that she was practicing illegally. Saul, a former nurse, 56 years old, who operated 3 hospitals in Yangcheonggu, Incheon, and Pucheon, rivaled Kim. She hired doctors on salaries and paid 20 million won for plastic surgeons and 10 million won for general practitioners as monthly salary. The police stated that doctors who were getting behind in competition lent out their licenses for money, although they knew it was illegal. In the sense that the act of an unlicensed plastic surgery practitioner performing illegal procedures on the face, the most important part of a person's body, is a wrongful act that causes people who should follow the course of finding a proper hospital to veer off from such course, is an incitement. The actors that appear in this drama of incitement are the quakes that did plastic surgery business, the plastic surgeons who invited these quakes to their hospitals to attract patients, the doctors who lent their medical licenses to these quakes for large sums of money, and the victims who ruined their faces due to these quakes. But this drama of incitement would not have been possible with only these actors. There were other persons who played the most important part in that drama. These were women who received treatment from these quakes or who had heard about them from third parties and spread the words that they were so-and-so is the best in the industry, so-and-so is better than doctors, so-and-so is the best at getting rid of freckles. These women had never gathered crowds and gave speeches in front of them. They never advertised in newspapers. They only met privately and talked about skin care and just said that so-and-so at such and such place is the best when it came to skin care. But at the results of those actions were that it was to commit ignorance of being incited by these quakes and resulted in the evil act of unintentionally inciting others. If it weren't for these women who committed the ignorance of being easily incited by others and at the same time inciting someone without even knowing that they were doing these things, this drama The drama of incitement by these Quakes would not have been possible, and in this sense, these women could be the modern version of the women of high standing and leading men of Pisidian Antioch. But actually, we also too easily commit the ignorance of being incited by others and the evil of inciting someone without even being aware that we are doing so. So long as we are not able to escape this vicious cycle of being incited and inciting others, the unrighteous actions of those who try to use us will thrive all the more, and all kinds of negative effects on the society that results from our lives can't be stopped. It is only too clear that if we live in such a way, we will decay and disappear without a trace. Like the Jewish leaders of Pisidian Antioch, the women of high standing, and the leading men, which appear in today's text. While Jesus was on this earth, he was never incited by anyone, and he never incited any person. This is because Jesus is true life. It's true life. No matter what the circumstances, never engages in incitement that causes a person to break off from a proper course. Rather, true life is the power and the ability to restore a person who had broken off from the normal and proper course to find his way back to such path. Beloved brothers and sisters, do you know that this life is already with us? Do you know that the Lord, despite the fact that we are people who have repeatedly committed the ignorance of being incited by others and who has committed the acts of inciting others, is still embracing us? Let us drink in that life with the words and give off that life through prayers. Regardless of time and place, let us breathe with that life and live with the power of that life. It is only then that we can escape the vicious cycle of being incited by another in ignorance and committing the evil of inciting another. Further, although we may appear as nobodies in the city of emperor, like Apostle Paul of today's text, we will become the true Christians who return those who came off the normal and proper path to such a way. The apostles of true life who allow life to seep through this city of emperor, which is only full of surface appearances. Let us pray. Eve committed the ignorance of being incited by Satan and ended up also unintentionally committing the evil of inciting her husband, Adam. We are the very descendants of that Adam and Eve. But despite this, we have been living under the illusion that incitement is something that only occurs between groups of many people, between such a group and a collective, between such a group and masses, for political and ideological purposes, and we ourselves have nothing to do with that incitement. However, we thank you that through today's passage, you have made us realize that all this while, without us even being aware of it, we committed the ignorance of being incited by someone and repeatedly engaged in the evil of inciting someone, and thereby committed the fault of making so many people go off the rightful and proper path. we repent all these faults and ask for your forgiveness in your mercy. People who witnessed the Lord performing the sign of five breads and two fish at the plains of Bethsaida immediately incited the Lord to become their king. But the Lord never became incited by them. Although the Lord suffered a death on the cross due to the incitement of Jewish leaders of Jerusalem, but until his death, he did not incite anyone to save himself. This is because the Lord is the true life. I thank you that because the Lord is life, he is present even to me as life, the person who lived contrary to the Lord's will in my ignorance, in being incited, my evil of inciting others, and he is embracing me at this hour with his life. From now on, allow me to drink in that life through the words, to give off that life through prayers. Allow me to live only in that life, with the strength of that life, so that I will be the first to recover my rightful and proper path, so that we pray that thereby all of us will become true Christians who restore people who have gone off the right path. To such course, the apostles of true life, who let life seep through the city of emperor, which is rushing headlong to death. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.